Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome to Hidden Edges Radio. Lovely Sunday to all of you. I hope that everyone listening is having a great Sunday, which also would be Sunday, Christmas Eve. Hello, everyone. Happy Christmas Eve to you. Happy holidays. Happy, happy. This is Ellie Krug with Hidden Edges Radio. I'm here to give you another hour of wisdom, whether you want it or not. No, not really. And I'm here to help challenge you to think a different way. We've got a great show ahead of us, a wonderful guest on the line to talk with us about what's going on as it relates to transgender political candidates in America. And then I will, of course, share with you my regular segment of Human is Human and then my odds and ends. And let's just begin by making sure that all of you listening, sorry, regular listeners, you know what's coming, that everyone understands, even though my name is Ellie Krug and you're hearing this male voice, please understand, I'm trans, I'm transgender. I'm one of the relatively few transgender radio hosts in the world. Big deal. Okay, but I needed to say that because for new listeners, you're like, what's this all about? Also, I always remind at the top of the show, this show is about unifying and not dividing, although we're going to be talking a little bit about politics on this show, which is a little unusual. And most of all, this show is about our commonalities, about making our way through the world, about surviving the human condition, and about how the fact is that all of us are doing that at the same time. No one is alone, even though almost every one of us feels as if we are. It's true, though, that we're all doing it. We're all trying to make our way. And I like to talk about grit and resiliency because all of you listening right now, you have far more grit and resiliency than what you know, than what you believe. You do. I'm just here to tell you that. But before I pontificate any further, let's get on to our guest. Let's get on to our guest for today, which is Day Pope. Who is Day Pope? Excuse me. Hi, Day. Welcome.
Hi, Ellie. Glad to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. Day, you are with the Trans United Fund. You are their organization director. And I wanted to have you on the air because I absolutely wanted to talk with you about this concept of political funding for transgender political candidates. And that's what the Trans United Fund is all about. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We just came off of a really successful election cycle. November 7th, 2017, the number of trans elected officials in the country doubled. And several of those candidates were elected with our efforts. It's not just about, funding. It's a lot about strategic planning, helping get out a really positive message and organizing people to take action to elect candidates and to volunteer for outstanding trans candidates.
Well, and so two of those candidates are very familiar to our listeners, Philippe Cunningham and Andrea Jenkins, who both garnered seats on the Minneapolis City Council. And so, first of all, as a person who is trans and part of the trans community, I want to say thank you to the Trans United Fund. But let's tell us more about the fund, Day, if you would. How did it come about? And you've alluded to why it exists, but maybe you can talk a little bit more about that. And how old is it? I mean, this hasn't been around very long, has it? It's a new
baby. No. We're just a baby. We've been around for about a year and a half. And we were started by a diverse group of trans leaders across the country, many of whom are trans people of color, trans working class people, some of whom have served in the military, some of whom are immigrants. It's really like a great mix of members of the community across a lot of different backgrounds and identities. And what really happened about a year and a half ago was these leaders came together and were seeing all of the bathroom bill attacks in North Carolina and elsewhere, all of the school board level attacks on trans youth being able to have their name and genders recognized in school. And the way that, you know, there were no trans candidates or very few trans candidates or elected officials across the country who actually had a seat at the table in decision-making bodies to push back. And there's a lot of great work that's been done in the trans movement to advance policy and to do direct service work to members of the community that are in need. But before Trans United Fund, there really wasn't a specifically trans-led voice working to build political power to elect outstanding trans candidates and our allies who support our rights. And so that's why we started, and what gets us up in the morning, and what we are passionate about.
We hear the phrase PAC, political action, you know, committee or campaign. I mean, is the Trans United Fund a PAC?
Trans United Fund is what's called a C4 political organization, a public welfare organization. But we at Trans United Fund operate the first trans-led, trans-focused PAC, the Breakthrough Fund, which with our partner Outfront Minnesota was the vehicle that we used to really make change and help elect Philippe Cunningham and Andrea Jenkins in Minneapolis this last election cycle.
Okay, so in the end, what this is about is putting dollars towards people that the trans community can believe in, which are other trans people, putting dollars towards them to get them in a place where they can make a real difference. Yes?
Yes, and I think more so than just the money part. I know in the name, the fund is a part of the name, but mostly we are really a lot more hands-on than that. A lot of national organizations just endorse a candidate and maybe send them a check. We do that, but we also work closely with their teams to develop strategy, to talk about what it means to be a trans candidate and the special kind of conversations that often need to happen for trans candidates and our strong allies. We organize volunteers, we organize members to get out for them. So really we're about just the whole nine yards, really doing whatever we can to support these candidates that share our values and will be good voices for the trans community in decision-making bodies.
And so with the Trans United Fund and the Breakthrough Fund, you were able to get in place how many candidates?
So we, in this last election cycle, supported more than four candidates, but our priority candidates were four candidates, and that was Philippe Cunningham and Andrea Jenkins right there in Minneapolis, as well as Danica Rome, running for delegate in Virginia, and Kristen Browdy, who was running for town supervisor of Newcastle, New York. And we also endorsed and did some strategic help with Shannon Cuddle in New Jersey and a few other candidates. But we were able to help elect three out of our four priority candidates. Obviously, Danica, Andrea, and Philippe all won. And in Minneapolis specifically, where a lot of our efforts were centered, with our partner Outfront Minnesota, we were able to spend $90,000 to rally the troops, to do canvasses on the ground. We were able to do a massive door-to-door effort of canvassing, which is incredibly rare for a campaign of that size. And we're able to hit the entire expected turnout voter universe.
Well, and I'm going to say you made a difference, certainly in Philippe's case, because Andrea was, you know, taking a seat that was vacated. And I think that there was general consensus that she was going to win. But Philippe, it was a much closer call. And I think that your efforts absolutely had to have made a difference.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was going up against a dynastic incumbent whose family had held the seat for about 45 years, who had big business interests behind her. And they actually dropped $1 million into the race in the last week to try to defeat Philippe and other progressive candidates.
I did not know that. Oh my God. Wow.
And it was really a wonderful kind of victory of real people organizing, and our efforts on behalf of Philippe helped him win by 175 votes. So just able to beat the incumbent and win. And that was really a result of our breakthrough fund, along with Outfront Minnesota, canvassers and volunteers talking to voters in the fourth ward about their hopes and concerns, sharing an authentic reason why they supported Philippe, and giving them the right information on where to vote. You know, we were able to knock on over 6,000 doors, have a lot of conversations on the phone, send out 14,000 pieces of mail. And so we saw in Philippe such an incredible leader. And we know that his ward was really hungry for new change and for fresh leadership. And we're really, really proud of that effort.
Great. And Day, when we come back from our break, I want to talk more about the TransUnited Fund. And I want to talk about Danica Rome over in Virginia. So listeners, you've been listening to Ellen Krug. I've been speaking with Day Pope from the TransUnited Fund. If you like what you hear, visit my website at elliekrug.com or email me at hiddenedgesradio@gmail.com. We'll be back after a break. Thanks so very much. Bye.
Lawmakers are trying to pass new anti-LGBT legislation. How does this affect you? Is your family protected? Do you have the right to make medical and financial decisions for your family? Are you the legal parent to your children? If you are unsure of the answers to these questions, it is important that you call Unique Estate Law now. This is Chris Timchuk. I have worked with countless LGBT families to protect their rights. Protect your rights now at uniqueestatelaw.com or call 952-260-1806.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to find that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion offers more appliance brands than any other, and our passionate specialists are motivated to impress you so much that you will refer Warner Stellion to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around, check us out online, and when it's your time to buy new appliances, join nearly 300 Minnesotans and choose the appliance specialist, Warner Stellion.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
The local advertisers you hear on AM 950 are the lifeblood of the station. If you find yourself regularly tuning in, or if you appreciate the diversity of content we deliver, please take the time to support our advertisers. Even if it's just to thank them for backing AM 950, your voice and support can go a long way. Help keep the station going strong while investing in our local community. Find the complete list of on-air supporters by visiting the advertisers page at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com.
Mishad Cooley Erickson, a mechanical and electrical consulting engineering firm in Minneapolis, supports inclusivity by designing spaces for all user groups, honoring inclusivity and respect. These spaces include gender-neutral family restrooms and nursing mothers' rooms. For example, Mishad Cooley Erickson has designed lactation rooms for traveling mothers at the MSP International Airport. Designing these spaces has changed the expectations of similar facilities in airports around the country. Mishad Cooley Erickson designed safe and comfortable environments for occupants who are their number one priority. back. Hello, everyone. This is Ellie Krug with Hidden Edges Radio. We've been speaking with Day Pope from the Trans United Fund. Day, you were talking before our break about how the Trans United Fund showed up, supported two candidates for the Minneapolis City Council, Andrea Jenkins and Philippe Cunningham, both of whom won. I think, as we were speaking about, that Philippe's victory largely owed to the support from the Trans United Fund and from Outfront Minnesota. But now I want to shift, if we could, to the third candidate that the Trans United Fund supported, Danica Rome in Virginia. And Danica, I mean, I think you know this, but I think from here out in Minnesota, she's captured the hearts and minds of a lot of people here for the grit that she showed in her campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about how did the Trans United Fund get Danica on their radar, and what maybe did you have to do more or differently for her in order to help get her elected? And maybe before you even do that, can you give us the landscape of what she was up against in the Virginia House of Representatives?
Yeah, absolutely. So Danica's race was such a unique situation because we had the opportunity to support an outstanding trans woman who not only was running for office, but whose opponent was one of the most conservative, anti-trans, anti-women legislators in the country, Bob Marshall.
I think he called himself, didn't he, describe himself as the homophobe in chief for the Virginia legislature?
He definitely made it his sole mission to oppose LGBT rights and reproductive rights. And he actually introduced a bathroom bill in Virginia. He was trying to block equal marriage in Virginia. So I think her story really captured so much of the nation because it was this compelling battle, really, between this trans woman who was facing this opponent that consistently wouldn't acknowledge her gender, wouldn't acknowledge her name. I mean, he put out advertisements attacking her for being transgender. He sent mailers attacking her for being transgender.
Well, and he consistently misgendered her throughout the campaign. Kept calling Danica him and he, yes?
He did, yep, throughout the entire campaign.
And so did the Republican Party in Virginia, if I have that right.
I don't know about the Republican Party's communications about her, but he did misgender her consistently, attack her for being transgender, and she just had to face this ugliness and this hatred every day of her campaign. And, you know, I don't think any of us would have blamed her if she had let it get to her, if she had struggled with that, but she faced it with such grace and such poise, and she really just kept talking about the issues that mattered in her race, like Route 28, making sure that infrastructure in the area was updated so that people weren't stuck in traffic for hours and hours of their commute.
I'm interrupting, but I would tell you, even I know about Route 28 out here in Minnesota. I mean, she did that so consistently and so well that her message really was not about who she was, but was really about the issues. I mean, I thought it was a grand, very smart strategy on her part.
Yeah, she really knew what she wanted to accomplish. She knew that the voters in her district were going to respond to real plans to improve their lives, which is what, you know, we hope that all of our representatives can offer. And we were able to help with some strategic support in her race. We got volunteers and organized folks to help her win the primary. And then again, in the last stretch of Get Out the Vote for the general election. And we're able to just, you know, have some key conversations with her as one of the first trans people openly running for office, about how to navigate that. And we think that she did a really great job of navigating that. And what she and Kristen, one of our other endorsed candidates, said during the campaign, which we are totally, we think is a good strategy, is they're not running on their gender and they're not running away from their gender. You know, they are trans and that is a fact, but at the end of the day, what voters are going to want to hear more than anything is, what are you going to do about the actual problems that we have in this community? And Danica did a great job of keeping her focus on that.
Well, she, so as a trans woman here in Minneapolis, I was just in awe, frankly, of how she ran her campaign and of the grit that she showed. And hopefully someday we will actually have her on this show. I would love to be able to have her talk about how she survived Robert Marshall and that campaign. For me, I think the story for about Danica in particular is about how when we get past the fear of other and we just address the issues that, you know, affect all of us. I mean, Route 28 isn't a transgender issue. It's a issue for all humans in Virginia. And when we talk about just the things that affect all of us, so we're, one of the themes about this show, Day, is about commonalities, okay? And once we just focus on our commonalities, we can pretty much get past all the grouping and labeling and all of the phobias and isms, and we can just kind of concentrate on the value of a human being able to get us from point A to point B. I think that that's exactly what happened in Virginia, that people were able to get away from the labels and just simply focus on the issues.
Yeah, I think that something that's important to Trans United Fund is we're not just about representation, although that is important. We're about electing outstanding leaders that can improve people's lives and stand up for their communities. And so I think what we see is that when people are honest and open about who they are, but allow others to see them as a human and talk about issues that we do have common ground around, then people absolutely can come around. And that doesn't mean there aren't prejudices and some bigotry that we have to navigate. But I do think that it's really about supporting good leaders that will be good representatives. And if you start from there, and if you start from having, you know, Andrea Jenkins, Philippe Cunningham, and Danica Rome are outstanding people and candidates, and they'll be outstanding council members and delegates because they are smart, they're savvy, they care about people, and they have the right values, and they're trans, which is awesome. And so that's kind of where we're coming from. And we think that, you know, when you actually have a substantive conversation about leadership and about issues, that people will support the better candidate and can come along with learning more about trans folks.
Well, and Danica sure did a good job because she beat Marshall 54% to 45%. Not bad, you know, and it's Danica's, that was her novice run into politics, right?
Yep. It was her first time run, and she was against an incumbent. So for her to have that type of support was really impressive.
Well, and before we move from her, just one last thing. I've read that the Virginia General Assembly, because of Danica's election, was going to throw out the terms gentleman and general lady and now refer to every member of the assembly as delegate, which in my view doesn't bode well for the kind of support that Danica's going to get once she is inside the office. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, it was a moment of, I think they were trying to be snarky, but we actually love that they're going to refer to folks as delegate because that makes space for non-binary and otherwise you know, gendered folks to serve and to not have to be just put in one box or another. But I'm sure that wasn't what they were going for. So
okay, so there might be some poetic irony there, right?
Yes, I think so, because we don't like where that decision was coming from, in that they intended it to be snarky. But yeah, we love it. Like, people should just be called delegate, you know, regardless of gender. I think that there may be some pushback. You know, Danica is going to serve as the first trans state legislator who's out in the country. And whenever there's a first, there are going to be people that have to take time to adjust and who are resistant. And that might be some of the Republican Party in Virginia. But she came in with strong support. She came in with strong support from the Democratic Party. And she came in as a serious leader who wants to make substantive change and work across the aisle and work with whoever she needs to fix Route 8 and other issues like that. And so I really have faith that as the newness wears off and as she is able to just be a delegate and work on her issues and her platform in the House of Delegates, I think that people will realize she's there to get work done, you know, and she's there to be a key member. And so I think that they'll come around.
Well, Day, I just want to tell you, my hat is off to the Trans United Fund. My hat's off to you as well, because you've been involved in getting it up off the ground. You know, what you have done, you and your colleagues in creating that fund, is use your imagination, as well as use good old-fashioned organizational tactics, political organizational tactics, to help get people visible who otherwise would have difficulty doing that. So I want to say, as a member of the trans community, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to you, and thank you to your colleagues for doing all of that.
Oh, Ellie, that means a lot. We all are happy to, and it's such a community and a team effort that it really feels like this is the moment. And we are seeing these successes build up. And so we're just excited to keep going and see and help more trans candidates get elected.
Well, thank you, Day. We've been speaking with Day Pope from the Trans United Fund about the elections that brought so many trans people into office. When we come back, we'll start with my segment, Human is Human, and move on to other topics. This is Ellie Krug with Hidden Edges Radio. Thank you.
Hi, Matt McNeil here. Toyota-thon is on. Head over to Rudy Luther Toyota as they celebrate their 40th year and check out the great deals. They're offering rebates on the all-new redesigned 2018 Camry. Check out the rebates on the RAV4. And did you know that both the Camry and the RAV4 have a hybrid version? Very impressive. Rudy Luther Toyota is the largest Toyota-certified pre-owned dealer in the state. For all the Toyota-thon specials, head to RudyLutherToyota.com or stop in today for Toyota-thon at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Green light.
Hey, girl.
School zone.
I'm getting hungry.
Car changing lanes.
You want to meet me for pizza?
Stop sign. Intersection clear.
Yeah.
Street.
Pizza sounds good.
Ball in street?
Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake. Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Lawmakers are trying to pass new anti-LGBT legislation. How does this affect you? Is your family protected? Do you have the right to make medical and financial decisions for your family? Are you the legal parent to your children? If you are unsure of the answers to these questions, it is important that you call Unique Estate Law now. This is Chris Timchuk. I've worked with countless LGBT families to protect their rights. Protect your rights now at uniqueestatelaw.com or call 952-260-1806.
Mishad Cooley Erickson, a mechanical and electrical consulting engineering firm in Minneapolis, supports inclusivity by designing spaces for all user groups, honoring inclusivity and respect. These spaces include gender-neutral family restrooms and nursing mothers' rooms. For example, Mishad Cooley Erickson has designed lactation rooms for traveling mothers at the MSP International Airport. Designing these spaces has changed the expectations of similar facilities in airports around the country. Mishad Cooley Erickson designed safe and comfortable environments for occupants who are their number one priority.
And we're back. This is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio. What a great interview with Dave Pope from the Trans United Fund. So wonderful that transgender people, yes, I'm one of them, thank you, have some political clout now. Look at how the way the world is changing. How nice to see. And so hopefully you enjoyed that interview. I sure did. Now is my segment, though, on Human is Human. It's the holiday. I want to give you something that makes you feel warm and fuzzy, because when I read about this, it made me warm and fuzzy. And it's about a story that showed up at the end of November about a homeless man, Johnny Bobbitt, who came across and encountered a woman named Kate McClure, whose car had run out of gas on Interstate 95 in Philadelphia. Amanda, it was the middle of the night. Amanda ran out of gas. And as she's sitting in her car trying to figure out what to do, a homeless man with a long beard and not all that good at clothing approached her. And so, of course, she locks her doors and starts to worry about what is this all about. As it turns out, that the homeless man named Johnny was willing to help her. He told her, stay in your car, keep the doors locked, I'll be back with help. And he proceeded to a nearby gas station, spent his last $20 to fill up a gas can with some gas, and took it back to Kate so that she could be on her way. Now, ordinarily, and Kate at that point apparently did not have any money, but ordinarily maybe the way the story would end is Kate would make a donation to a homeless shelter in Johnny's name, you know, as a way of repaying him. But that's not what Kate did. Instead, she went back to the place, the location where she ran out of gas. She hunted down Johnny. She was with her, Kate was with her boyfriend at the time, a guy named Mark D'Amico. And by the way, all of this is from a story by Amanda Hoover with the Associated Press that came out on November 27th. So Kate and Mark hunt down Johnny, and they begin to start giving him gifts, food, some clothing, some gift cards. And eventually they decided that that was not good enough. And so Kate and Mark together launched a GoFundMe page in the third week of November with a goal of $10,000. They set that goal thinking that maybe at best they would attract only a few hundred dollars. Well, you know what? And I'm sure some of you have heard this about this story, but by November 23rd, that GoFundMe site had raised, you ready? $250,000 for Johnny. And that was up from just the night before of $34,000 because there was a news story. When the fund was only $34,000, there was a national news story about it. And eventually, the fund grew from the $250,000 to, by the end of November, to $376,000 with donations from 13,000 people. 13,000 people. And then the even better part of the story was that Johnny, who had become homeless as a result of, he had moved to Philadelphia with a job in hand. He was, by training, a certified paramedic, a former Marine, he lost his job shortly after starting it. Then, as the story goes, he lost his paperwork that would have allowed him to get another job. I don't know how that works, but, and that he had been on the street for about a year. So they got these pledges of $376,000 for Johnny, and then Johnny turns around and says, I'm not taking all that money. I'm going to share that. I'm going to spread that to the homeless community. And there were just some really, really great things that came out of Amanda Hoover's story, including a wonderful quote that Johnny had to say, which I thought I need to read that quote for you, and that would be this. Oh, excuse me. This is a quote from ABC News. This is something that Johnny said, quote, I just got her gas to help her get back on her way. I didn't think anything about it. I wasn't expecting anything in return. That's how I got the money to start with, from other people. I had to return the favor. I can't constantly take and not give back, period, unquote. Think about that. You've got a homeless man in his early 30s who gets what sounds like a windfall from doing just a single act of goodness for another human. And God, it would be great if that would happen for everyone, for every good single act of goodness. But he gets this windfall, and what does he do? He understands that nothing is given, and that if you are the recipient of some goodness from another human, that creates an obligation on your part to give that goodness back to others. What a phenomenal way of thinking. And you know, as I read that story and as I researched it further, I was thinking about, and now I'm going to be a little bit snarky here on politics. I was thinking about the tax bill by the Republicans. Sorry to group and label. But I was thinking about some of the very limited debate that went on. And there were two senators in particular who said things that I think just bear on this. One was Senator Charles Grassley from my old home state of Iowa, who was talking about why he believed that the estate tax should be eliminated. And he said that proposal to eliminate the tax, quote, recognizes that people are investing, as opposed to those that are just spending every darn penny they have, whether it's on booze, women, or movies, unquote. I mean, we had a U.S. senator say that. And then Orrin Hatch had to weigh in on the CHIPS program, which, to his credit, he was trying to salvage, but he went on to say that quote, he's having a rough time spending billions and trillions to help people who won't help themselves, won't lift a finger, and expect the government to do everything, period, unquote. I'm thinking about those attitudes as contrasted with Johnny Bobbitt, this homeless man who gets a windfall
of $376,000 and who says, you know what, I'm going to share that with other people like me. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about sharing. It's about understanding that everything is fleeting and that no one has a right. No one has a right to judge others and take away from them. And certainly no one has a right to hoard. We don't. So, I don't know. I thought that was a great story for us to have on the holidays. When we come back, I will talk about my odds and ends. You've been listening to me, Ellen Krug, one of only a handful of transgender radio hosts in the world with Hidden Edges Radio on AM 950. If you like what you hear, visit my website at elliekrug.com or email me at hiddenedgesradio@gmail.com. We'll be back for more after this break. Thank you. Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Seward Co-op invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Shop Seward for your holiday meals. Currently offering local free-range Ferndale turkeys and vegetarian options, fresh seasonal produce, house-made pies, other assorted baked goods, and locally made gifts at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio.
And I'm Karen. Join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. It's all about food, you know, Laura.
Right, the health of the planet. You know, carbon-based farming can solve the climate crisis.
Well, because community is medicine.
And it's not about one seed to rule them all anymore.
One seed rules the world.
Yeah, let's have something else. Let's, worry about our individual health, our community health, the health of the planet, while eating food.
Yeah, because it's all tied to food.
So listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m.
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Lawmakers are trying to pass new anti-LGBT legislation. How does this affect you? Is your family protected? Do you have the right to make medical and financial decisions for your family? Are you the legal parent to your children? If you are unsure of the answers to these questions, it is important that you call Unique Estate Law now. This is Chris Timchuk. I've worked with countless LGBT families to protect their rights. Protect your rights now at uniqueestatelaw.com or call 952-260-1806.
Hidden Edges Radio. This is Ellen Krug, your host. Hope you've been enjoying this Christmas Eve show. We've been talking about transgender people and we've been talking about homeless people. And now we're going to talk about beauty contest contestants. But
certainly with a twist, of course, because you know you would get that from me. So this is my segment Odds and Ends 1 and 2, where we just kind of pull things in randomly from assorted places. And the first place I want to pull something in from is a November 30th Pioneer Press story by Mary Dunn, who wrote about the very first Down syndrome contestant in the Miss Minnesota USA contest. And that would be a woman named Michaela Holgren, a 22-year-old from Marie on St. Croix, who competed in the contest for Miss Minnesota USA, part of the USA Miss USA contest. She was the first contestant, I think, in the nation with Down syndrome to compete. She is a student at Bethel University. She was also crowned Miss Minnesota Miss Amazing in 2015. And at the contest in November here in Minnesota, Michaela won the Spirit Award for, quote, always being true to herself and putting others first with selflessness, humility, and overcoming obstacles, unquote. You know, the wonderful thing about this is that Michaela was and remains a role model, because in the audience watching Michaela were parents with other Down syndrome children. And on top of that, Michaela is a volunteer with Best Buddies International, a nonprofit that promotes friendship and leadership development with people who have developmental disabilities. I didn't know about Best Buddies International. I mean, are you getting a sense? Maybe there's a little check writing could be done to get your tax donations in at the end of the year. Here's the deal about all of this. Michaela, if you ever hear this show, I'm just going to tell you, you rock. I just want you to know that. You inspire me. You do. You show up every day. And you're just you, and I, God love you, please. And for those of you who know folks with Down syndrome, please share about Michaela. I'm sure many of you already know. And those of you folks who are out there who are struggling with just stuff in life, think about Michaela and what she represents for all of us. You know, I'm sitting here right now talking to you, struggling about some things. You know what, but boy, I'll tell you something. Just to think about Michaela getting on a stage, and there's a picture of her in the Pioneer Press story where a wonderful picture of her in a beautiful blue gown. Just think about her just standing there beaming about what it means to be just showing up. You know, I did a show last week with Iris Perez, where she said sometimes the hardest thing in life is just about to show up. And I can't agree with that more. And so, Michaela, thank you for showing up. Happy holidays to you. Odds and ends item number 2 is the saying, Merry Christmas. I mean, it's Christmas Eve. I mean, we should be saying Merry Christmas along with other things. But we've seen, and now I'm getting really into politics, we've seen how the phrase Merry Christmas has become weaponized. Did we ever think that we would get here to this? Where just the idea of saying Merry Christmas constitutes a political statement? And if said in a certain way, with a certain demeanor, with a certain tone, may reflect a particular political affiliation. How did we get here? And I've just got to say, I'm just going to throw that out there for you. What would Jesus do if Jesus knew this, that his birthday has now become a political weapon? You know, I mean, we just ended Hanukkah, you know, and I mean, how many times across America did somebody say Merry Christmas to somebody who's Jewish to make a political point? You know, I mean, I've lived here in the Twin Cities. I've lived in Iowa, both very heavily Christian, But I also went to law school in Boston and lived in Boston. And you know what? On the East Coast, you learn pretty quickly. You say happy holidays. You know, and why do you do that? Do you do that because you do that just to understand that, people are all over the place as it relates to religion? You know, and what is the difference between happy holidays and Merry Christmas? In my book, it's not much. Not at all. In the end, I mean, the greetings in general are generally to be goodwill. Hello, here's my goodwill. And I hope that in this time of year, there is goodwill in your life. And I want to share my goodwill with you. That's the whole idea. How did we ever get in the world where a greeting on a holiday becomes a political weapon? How did we do that? I know, I'm droning, okay? But can we not do this anymore? Next year, in 2018, can we just understand that Merry Christmas simply means Merry Christmas? And that Happy Holidays really is an inclusive phrase for everyone? And that all it means in the end is, can't we just have fun and share our goodwill? I know, I know. Remember, it is about commonalities, folks. It is about us being able to understand that all of us are in this together, that we're all trying to survive this human condition, that we all want 20 minutes of peace. Boy, that's particularly difficult at the holidays, but we all want that. You know, and that is really what it's about. And so, as you go forward with this holiday season, you know, Merry Christmas is fine, but don't put the attitude on it. Happy Holidays is just as fine, if not better. And don't put the attitude on that either. I, Ellie Krug, wish you, listeners, a great holiday season. This happens to be the 50th show of Hidden Edges Radio. I think kind of a landmark. I began taping and airing shows at the beginning of 2017. So I'm pretty happy about the fact that I've survived, that we're building something here after a year. You've been listening to me, one of the relatively few transgender radio hosts in the world, with Hidden Edges Radio. If you like what you hear, if not, just even send me a holiday greeting at hiddenedgesradio@gmail.com. A big thanks to our sponsors, the engineering firm of Mishad Cooley Erickson and the law firm of Zaylor Stout and Associates. We're going to have Zaylor on for a live show in January. A big shout out to my producer, Hunter. You're doing great, Hunter. Thank you so very much. And to you, all of you, have a great end of the year holiday. See you in 2018. Bye.